Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara asks, Umi Amar Rabbi Akiva Rekika Lapasla VeHasanya Chotza Velo Rakika Velo Kara Chalitzasa Kshera Rakika Velo Chotza Velo Kara Chalitzasa Psula Kara Velo Rakika Velo Chotza In Kan Beis Mechush. So the Gemara questions the premise that the Gemara on yesterday's daf had, which is that if the woman fails to do the Rekika, the spitting, that it doesn't invalidate the Chalitza. Is that really true? So the Gemara references a Braisa that says that if the woman removed the shoe but didn't spit or read the Psukim, that Chalitza is valid. If she only spit but didn't remove the shoe or read the psukim, then the chalitza is invalid. If she only read the psukim and didn't remove the shoe or spit, then that's nothing at all. Now, again, remember, we've spoken a lot about this earlier in the Masechta, that there is a difference between a chalitza psula. Even though we usually would say that a chalitza is invalid, that may still have certain ramifications for certain areas of halacha, in contrast to a case where all she did was read the psukim and didn't take off the shoe or spit, the Gemara says, in cotton based mechosh. That's nothing at all. That's not even a chalitza psula. That's even less than an invalid chalitza. So the Gemara explains, Mani, Ilema Rabbi Eliezer, Chotza v'lo Rakika v'lo Kara Chalitzasa Kshira, v'ha'ama Rabbi Eliezer, Kacha Yayaseh, Davar Shehu Maiseh Ma'akev. This cannot be reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because if it did, the Gemara said that if the woman simply removed the shoe, but didn't spit or recite the psukim, that the Chalitza is valid. That can't be, because Rabbi Eliezer happens to hold, based on the pasuk in the context of Yibum, that says, Kacha Yayaseh, so must you do, that any action associated with Chalitza, if the woman fails to perform that action, the Chalitza is invalid. So spitting is considered an action. And yet the Braisa says that if all the woman did was take off the shoe, but she didn't spit or recite the psukim, that the Chalitza is still valid. So clearly, this cannot reflect the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elipshita Rabbi Akiva, Vikatane, Rakika Velo Chalitza Velo Kara Chalitza Sapsula. And yet, so therefore you have to say this Braisa is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And the Braisa says that if all the woman did was spit, and she didn't take off the shoe, and she didn't recite the psukim, then that's called a Chalitza Psula. It's an invalid Chalitza. Again, it's still invalid for certain areas of halacha, but it's, in other words, it's not nothing, but it's not a valid chalitza either. So the Gemara clarifies. Lamat ilema la alma pshita mi havi chalitza de ishtari la alma el alav la achin shma mina. It can't mean that this is a chalitza that's now going to permit her to marry other people. She didn't follow through in the normal process of chalitza. If all she did was spit but didn't take the shoe off, she's lacking in the primary part of the chalitza. So obviously she can't go ahead and marry someone else. So what then does the Gemara mean that she engaged in a chalitza psula? It just means that now she's no longer allowed to marry any of the other brothers. She's now disqualified herself to the other brothers, and this clearly reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So then the Gemara pushes back again. Ula Rabbi Akiva, Maishna Rekika u Maishna Kriya, Kriya de Isa bein betchila bein besof la mechalfale, Rekika de betchila leisa ula besof isa, mechalfale va asu le mishre chalutza la achin. So in the first version, the Gemara says that the distinction between the spitting versus the reciting of the psukim is that there are psukim that are recited in the beginning of the chalitza, as well as at the end of the chalitza. So, in that context, the Gemara says that no one's going to get confused. If you walk in the middle of a chalitza and you see psukim recited at the end, you're not going to think, oh, they, you know, that they already went through the process of the chalitza. You're going to realize that, you know, you just missed the beginning of the chalitza. In contrast, the rekika, the spitting, only occurs at the at the end of the chalitza, and therefore, if you were to walk in and you see the woman just spit and not take the shoe off, you're going to think that, oh, just spitting is good enough. That's enough for a normal chalitza. I don't need to take the shoe off. So in order to avoid that possible confusion, the Gemara says that we're going to disqualify such a chalitza. Then the Gemara says, V'ika da'amre, hachi shalchulei, yivama shirakika tachlutz ve'ena tzricha larok pamacheres. Then the Gemara cites a second version, which says that if the yivama went ahead and she spit, she can then take the shoe off and she doesn't need to spit again. Even though normally the spitting was supposed to be done after the shoe was removed, if she reverses the order, the Gemara says, b'diyevet, it's okay. And the Gemara explains, ki ahi da'asi l'kamei de Rabbi Ami, hava yosef Rabbi Abba bar mamal kamei, rakaka mikamei desachlut. There was an incident where a woman came in front of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Abba bar mamal was sitting there, and the woman spit before she took off the shoe. So amar le Rabbi Ami chalotzla vishari la tigra. Tell her to take the shoe off and let's end this whole case. In other words, so she reverses the order. Big deal. It's not the end of the world. So amar le Rabbi Abba v'haba inan meirak, but don't we require her to spit? So the Gemara says, yeah, harakaka la. She already spit, even though it was out of order. So the Gemara says, okay, but v'seiru kumabichach. Why didn't she, in other words, why why doesn't she just spit again? What's so bad that's going to come out of her spitting again in the proper order? So the Gemara says, no, nafik mine churva. De iomar tihadar v'seirog, amre rekika kamaisa leis ba mashasha, v'asei lemishra chalutza la'achin. If we insist, if we require her to spit a second time, people are going to think that the initial spitting was meaningless, and what may happen in the future in a future potential case of chalitza is that you may come to permit her to go ahead and marry the brothers. In other words, if she really went ahead with the chalitza that qualified as a chalitza because of the spitting, even though it was done out of order, so you may think, well, if the spitting was done out of order, now the whole thing is meaningless. So now she may in the future end up marrying one of the brothers, which is going to be a serious problem. So the Gemara then pushes back. V'haba inan kesidron. No, kesidron lo ma'akva. The Gemara says again, as we've alluded to already, the order doesn't matter b'di'evit. Even though lechatchila you're really supposed to have the spitting done at the end, b'di'evit if you did it before you remove the shoe, so then it's not going to be ma'akiv. So the Gemara explains, who savar dechuya kamarchile nafak duck v'ashkach. This anya bein shehiktim chalitza lerekika bein shehiktim rekika lachalitza masha asa asui. So the Gemara points out that initially Rabbi Abba thought he was being blown off when the Gemara said that yeah, the order is not really ma'akiv. He thought that Rabbi Abba was just trying to kind of brush him aside, but it turns out that the Brisa says this explicitly, that even if you reverse the order, it doesn't matter whether you take the shoe off first or you do the spinning first, but the chalitza is going to be valid. Then the Gemara says, Levi nafak l'kiryasa. Levi went out to some city, some village. Bo mine gidemes mahu shetachlots yavama shirakika damahu. They posed two questions to Levi. The first question was, can a woman who's a gidemes, which means that she's an amputee, she doesn't have any hands, can she perform chalitza? Because the assumption is that she can't remove the shoe with her hands. And the second question is if she spits up blood, is that considered to be a valid act of rekika of spitting? So the Gemara then says, he cited a pasuk in Sefer Daniel that says, I'm going to tell you that which is written with the truthful writing. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Does that mean to say that there's writing that's not truthful? So the Gemara says, lo hava biyade. So Levi didn't know how to respond to this. So asa shoyal be midrasha amrule miksiv acholtza biyad umiksiv yarka rok. So in other words, the Torah never says that the woman has to remove the shoe with her hand or that she has to spit up saliva. It just says she has to take the shoe off. So even if she doesn't have any arms, she can use her teeth, let's say. Or even if she doesn't spit up saliva, she spits up blood, that presumably is also fine. But So the Gemara again goes back to the pasuk in Daniel that implies that there's certain types of writing that are not truthful. So the Gemara draws a contrast between a gzardin imposed by Hashem that is accompanied by a shvua. That type of gzardin will never be torn up, will never be retracted. Whereas a gzardin, a decree that does not that is not accompanied by a shvua, is subject to being retracted. And the Gemara gives an example of this based on a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, where Hashem basically swears that the family of Eli will not be forgiven with karbanos bezevach uvemincha. So the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Amar Rabba bezevach uvemincha eno miskaper ava miskaper hu bedivrei Torah. So according to Rabba, they won't be forgiven with karbanos, but they can be forgiven via learning Torah. Abaye amar bezevach uvemincha eno miskaper ava miskaper begemilus chazal, and they can be forgiven by doing acts of chesed. And the Gemara explains, Rabba the Abaye midavei seili kasu Rabba the asek v'Torah chayar b'enshnin Abaye the asek v'Torah uvegemilus chazal chayashitin. It's a very famous story from the Gemara that appears in other places as well, which is that both Rabba and Abai were descendants of the family of Eli, but Rabba, who only engaged in Torah learning, he only lived until 40. Abai, who also engaged in Chesed, lived until the age of 60. Then the Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, Mishpacha Achas Haisa B'Yerushalayim Shayumesim Kiven Shmona Esrei Shana." There was a family in Yerushalayim where the males of the family would die at around the age of 18. So Bova Hodi was Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai Amar Lehem Shema Mi Mishpachas Eli Atem Shene Amar V'Chol Mar Bispe Sechaya Musu Anashim Lechu Ve'Isku B'Torah V'Sichu Halchu V'Asku B'Torah V'Chayu V'Yukorino Son Mishpachas Yochanan Al Shemo. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai advised them. He said, "You guys come from the family of Eli, and there was this curse placed upon you that you're going to die early." So he said, "The way to rectify that is by learning Torah." So they went and they learned Torah, and they all lived long lives, and they ended up calling the family Yochanan based on his advice. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Shmuel Bar."
Rabbi, we spoke about the order of the spitting and the shoe removal.
Right.
That it wasn't of consequence.
Correct.
What about reciting the pesukim?
So we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but basically the reciting of the pesukim is really almost like an afterthought. As the Gemara pointed out earlier on the top of this Amud, if all you did was recite pesukim, the Gemara says, that's not even an invalid chalitza. That's right. Zero. That's nothing. So again, you're supposed to do it. It's part of the process, but it doesn't bear the same level of consequence as the spitting or removing of the shoe. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Unya Amar Rav, How do we know that a decree of the tzibur, a decree imposed upon the tzibur, will never be sealed? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Eino nechtam v'hachsiv kiim techabesiv ha'neser v'sarbich loch boris nechtam avonech lefanai. Say for Yirmiyo, the pasuk says, Hashem says that if you become soiled with sin, so Hashem says, and if you do tshuva, I'm going to erase it. I'm going to cleanse you of your sins. So elaminayin sha'afilu nechtam miskareya shene emar mika Hashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. It means that even if there's a gzar din that's sealed against the tzibur, Hashem can still tear it up, because it says in Parshas Vayeschanan, who is like Hashem, that anytime we call out to him, he can, you know, override any decree that he imposed upon us. So asks the Gemara, v'hachsiv dirishu Hashem b'himatzo. Doesn't it say in Sefer Yeshayahu that you only call out to, in other words, God only responds when you call him out, when you seek him out? It sounds like he's not always available. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, habi yachid abit tzibur. It depends if you're an individual versus the tzibur. So the Gemara says, yachid emas, amar Rav Nachman, amar Rabba Baravua, ilu asar yamam shebin Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. So during the Aser Simei Tshuva, God is always accessible to everyone, even to individuals, but the rest of the year, he's only easily accessible to the tzibur. Then the Gemara says, Sholchu leila avua de Shmuel, yivama shirakaka dam tachlots, lefi she'iyav shir ladam belo tzich tzuachro. Comes the Gemara and quotes the statement of Shmuel's father, who said that if a yivama spit up blood, that's okay. That's a valid rekika. Why? Because it's impossible that there's not some saliva that got mixed in with the blood as well. So asks the Gemara, Meisvei, yachol yehe dam hayotze mi pivu mi piha ama tamei, talmud lomar zovo tamei vein dam hayotze mi pivu mi piha ama tamei ala tahor. The Gemara references a din regarding a zav. So let's say we know that the Gemara points out in Maseches Nida that whatever qualifies as what's called maya nosav shel zav, anything which is part of the bodily fluids of a zav, is going to make someone tamei. So his urine, his ziva, his keri, anything like that. So the Gemara says, what about the saliva or blood that comes out of the zav's mouth or out of the penis? Is that also going to be metameh? So the Gemara says, no, that only something which is zovo tameh, only something which is considered to be like that type of a bodily function will become tameh, but blood that comes out of a zav's mouth or out of the tip of the penis is not considered to be metameh. So the Gemara says, you see from here that the assumption is that blood and saliva don't necessarily mix. They're considered to be two separate entities. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, kan b'motzetzes, kan b'shoses. It depends on the scenario. So, for example, if let's say the woman, in the case of Yibum, was, you know, hacking up some saliva and blood also came out, so then that's fine. That's considered to basically be saliva with some blood in it. But if let's say the woman had some kind of an open wound in her mouth and there was just blood flowing out of her mouth, so then the assumption is that there's no saliva there. So if the blood just kind of leaked out of her mouth, so then the assumption is that's not considered a valid rekiva. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Cheresh Shenechlas. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Zo Divi Rabbi Meir, Aval Chachamim Omrim Ein Chalitzas Katam Klum. So the truth is that this part of the Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting is actually going on the latter half of the line in the Mishnah, which was discussing the question of a katan, whether a katan can do chalitza. So the Gemara points out this is really subject to a machlokas. In other words, Rabbi Meir holds in the Gemara a little bit earlier that when a katan, once the boy is over the age of 9, where we consider his bia to be a valid action, so the Gemara says we treat that as the equivalent of giving a get for a gadol. In other words, his chalitza is considered meaningful, but the Chachamim disagree and say no, that when a katan does chalitza, it's a completely meaningless action. On the other hand, Ktana Shecholta, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Zo Divi Rav Meir, De Amar Ish Kasa Befarsha Umakshinan Isha Leish, Aval Chachamim Omrim Ish Kasa Ish Kse Befarsha Isha Bin Gedola Bin Ketana. Then the Gemara has a further machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, where Rav Meir says that this disqualification, or this idea regarding a katan, in other words, the fact that a katan can theoretically engage in chalitza, is going to only be true, is going to be true across the board, whether for a man or a woman. But the Chachamim say that which the Torah requires a person to be a gadol is only dafka for the man, because the Torah only uses the word ish, but when it comes to a woman, even a ketana can theoretically engage in chalitza. So asks the Gemara, man chachamim, Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Chiyav, Rabbi Shimon, by Rabbi Havu Yasvei, pasach chad minayu v'amar, hamispalol tzarech sheyitin inov lamata, shene amar v'hayu enayi v'li bisham kol ayamim, v'chad amar inov lamala, shene amar nisolev avinu el kapayim. So these amorim were sitting around, they were having some kind of discussion about tefillah, about whether it's more appropriate to have your eyes up or down for davening. They both cited different sukkim from Tanakh to support their position. So he quoted his father, who said that you basically do both. You keep your eyes physically down, but you keep your heart up in order to satisfy these two psukim. So Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, who was the Rebbe, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, he came into the base medrash, and all those students who were light-footed, who were quick, they ran back to their seats. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Agav Yukre, Hava Mafseya Va'azo. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, we know from other Gemaras and Shas, he was very heavy set, so he took a long time to get to his seat. He couldn't just run to his seat like everybody else. So Amar le Avdan, Mihu Zesha Mefase al Rashi Am Kadr. So Avdan, one of the students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he turns around to this guy, to Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, and he says, who is this guy that's stepping on the heads of the holy people? Amar le Ani Yishmael Rabbi Yossi Shabasi Lumotor Me Rabbi. It's me, Rabbi Yishmael. I came to learn Torah from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Amar le Vichiyat Hagan Lumotor Me Rabbi. Do you think you're fitting enough to learn Torah from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? Amar le Vichi Moshe Hayahagan Lumotor Me Piagvura. Was Moshe on par to learn Torah from Hashem? Amar le Vichi Moshe Ata. So he turns back to him and says, are you Moshe Rabbeinu? Amar le Vichi Rabcha Elokimu. And he says to him, is your Rabbi, is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi God? So Amar Rav Yosef Shakle Rabbi Le Mitra Say De Amar le Rabcha Velo Rabbi. So this is where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi got his just dessert, so to speak. In other words, he was almost not really punished, but he was almost ashamed here, because since he didn't stick up for Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, who in his own right was a big Talmud Chacham, he didn't stick up for him. So Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi didn't refer to him as his own Rebbe. He said to Avdan, "This is your Rebbe. This is this is your Rebbe who's not considered on par with Hashem." But he didn't say my Rebbe, because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't defend him. Then the Gemara says, "Adahachi Asi Yavama Lekame." This is the whole point of the story, right? The Gemara says, in the meantime, this Yavama came Lekame the Rebbe. So Yavama comes in front of Rebbe. Amar le Rebbe LaAvdan Poke Badka. So Rebbe said to Avdan, "Go and investigate, see if she's really a gedola. So whether we could do chalitza." So Levaser did nafak. Amar le Rebbe Yishmael Kach Amar Abba Ish Kasa Befire Shavul Isha Ben Gedola Ben Ketana. So after Avdan left the base medrash, Rebbe Yishmael turns to Rebbe and says, "You don't need to investigate, because as we just established earlier in the Gemara, a woman can do chalitza even if she's a ketana." So Amar le Talo Tzrichas Kvar Horazakin. So when Avdan came back, so Rebbe said to him, "You know, leave the base medrash. We don't need you anymore, because Rebbe Yishmael already paskin that if the woman, even if she's a ketana, that's good enough." So the Gemara says, "Kamaf Seya Avdan Vaase." So as Avdan was leaving, he was stepping on top of everyone because he was trying to get out of the base medrash. So Amar le Rebbe Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Misha Tzarech Lo Am Kadosh Yivsa Rashi Am Kadosh, Misha Ain Tzarech Lo Am Kadosh Heich Yivsa Rashi Am Kadosh. Now Rebbe Yishmael was kind of giving him a little bit of a dig, because in the beginning of the story, Avdan was saying, you know, how do you have the chutzpah to step on everyone? You know, to step over everyone to get to your seat. And now Rebbe said, only the people who are needed here in the base medrash, they can step on top of other people. But you, Avdan, where I just proved that we don't need you anymore, because I just paskin the shayla, so you have no right to step on top of everyone. So Amar le Rebbe LaAvdan Kum Beduchtech. So Rebbe said, now you have to stand still. You can't move. So Tana Ba'osa Shah Nitzdareya Avdan V'Tavu Shnei Banav U'Me'anu Shtei Kalosa. So a terrible thing happened at that time because of the words that he said, his comments to Rebbe Yishmael. So Avdan contracted Saras, his two sons drowned, and his two daughters-in-law both did Mion. They did refusal because apparently they were both married off as Ketanos, and then they kind of just left after their husbands died. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Baruch Rachmana Dekasvei LaAvdan B'Hayalma. And Rav Nachman commented, thank God that Hashem embarrassed Avdan in this world, so he didn't need to get all the retribution for the terrible for the things that he said in Olam Haba. Amar Rabbi Ami mi dvarav shal beribi nilmod ktana choletzes befeutos rava amaracha tagiel onas nedarim vehilchasah shetov yishtei Cyrus. What do we see from the story? So there's a machlokes about what is considered the minimum age that a woman can engage in chalitza. Now again, we've established that a ktana can do chalitza, but the question is, okay, so what if she's two? Like, can she do chalitza when she's two? So the Gemara says there's a machlokes. What's the cutoff point? So one opinion in the Gemara is what's called peutos. Peutos basically means that the girl is at the age where she kind of understands basically how kind of the world works, how business works, how basic things work. So the Rashi says that's around the age of 6 or 7. Then the Gemara quotes another opinion according to Rava that no, she has to be what's called tagila onas nedarim. She has to reach the age where her nedarim are theoretically binding. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nedarim and other places as well that once a girl reaches the age of 11, if she makes a ned there, so the Gemara says you're nivdakin, which means you inspect, you investigate. If you can see that she understands what she's talking about, then her nedarim are binding. Once she's hits the age of 12, then her nedarim are binding no matter what, even if she has no idea what she's talking about. But if she's 11, her nedarim will be binding if she understands. However, the Gemara says we paskin that the only time that we assume that chalitza is valid is once she reaches the age of Shtei Cyrus. Now again, Shtei Cyrus usually is associated with godless, usually when she turns the age of 12, but it's not always necessarily the case. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, we assume that in order for this girl to engage in chalitza, she has to either literally be a gedola, or at the very least, she has to have developed Shtei Cyrus. Okay, then we said, chalitza b'shnayim, amar Rav Yosef bar Manumi, amar Rav Nachman, ein halacha ka'oso azug. So the Gemara says, we don't paskin like those pair of Tanoim who say that you can suffice with two dayanim for chalitza, but rather you need three. So the Gemara says, Hamar of Nachman Chadazimna, the Amar of Yosef Barman, Yumi Amar of Nachman Chalitza Bishlosha. Didn't we already say in the Gemara earlier that Chalitza requires three Dayan? What's the Chiddush of our Gemara now? So the Gemara says, no, Tzriche, Di et Marhach Kamaisa, Hava, Amina Hanemil Lechachila, Aval Diavara Filutre, Kamash Malon, In Alacha Kosu Azuk. On the one hand, if we only had the earlier statement in the Gemara, I would have said that, in other words, I would have said that maybe Bidiyaved, two Dayan are good enough and three is just required Lechachila. On the other hand, Viash Munan, In Alacha Kosu Azuk, Elekasana Kama, Hava, Amina Diavara, On the other hand, if you only had the second statement, I would have said that three is bidiyeved, but maybe lechatchila you require five, which again we spoke a lot about last week also. So no, kamash malan, the Gemara says that the din is that you need three, and three is lechatchila. Then we said, maisa shecholtu, beino levena miyadana. The Mishnah had an incident of what seemed to be a case of man and woman who were in jail, and they did chalitza, what seemed to be privately, and the Mishnah seemed to indicate that that chalitza was valid. So the Gemara says, well, how could that possibly be valid? There are no edim around to, you know, to testify to the validity of the chalitza. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the edim ro- says, no, the case was that there were Edom standing outside of the prison, so they were able to witness the chalitza. That's why it's up. But in a chanami, there were just a man and a woman standing on their own, and no one was around, and the chalitza would be invalid. So then the Gemara says, "Iboyalu ma'isa shecholzu beinu levena abarai uva ma'isa lefnei Rabbi Akiva beveso asurin o dilma ma'isa shecholzu beinu levena beveso asurin." The Gemara has an interesting question. So again, back in the Mishnah had a case where the simple reading of the Mishnah was that the man and the woman were in prison. They did this some sort of private chalitza, or maybe the Edom were standing outside, and then they came to Rabbi Akiva to ask Rabbi Akiva if the chalitza was valid. That's one version of the Gemara. The other version is that the man and the woman were in prison, and that Rabbi Akiva was also in prison, as we know from the Gemara, the end of Brachos, he was also in prison as a prelude to him being killed in the Asara Aruge Malchus, and they went to ask him the Shaila in prison whether the Chalitza was out. That's the Gemara's suffix. What was the case? Was it that the man and the woman were in prison, or that Rabbi Akiva was in prison? So the Gemara says it was both. It was both. The man and the woman were in prison, and they went to ask Rabbi Akiva the Shaila in prison as well.